Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. All right, friendos. You probably couldn't get a little bit more excited than I am right now. Yes, you could, because it's Dynasty Talk, and it's not just my dumb voice or Bogman's dumb voice. It's a great voice. It is the new voice at FTN for Dynasty content and everywhere else. It's our great buddy Eric Cross on the Twitters at EricCross04 is where you need to follow. Yes, still over at Fantrax, but now the lead Dynasty analyst at FTN Fantasy. Also, my co-partner over on The Fantasy Black Book, which is out right now in wherever the hell you get your books. I think Amazon is usually the safe. I'm always safe saying Amazon. I took a bigger role in it. Eric, you did all the prospects in there. Really, the only thing that was missing was you and I just maybe going back and forth and doing some crazy dynasty debate in there. But first off, what's up, bunny?
Oh, man, that would have been fun.
Wouldn't that have been cool?
Maybe we could talk to Joey P about that for next year's book. But yeah, what's going on, gentlemen? Happy to join you. It's been a long month. You know, obviously holidays are always a crazy time with kids and whatnot, but getting
ready. How about new ventures? What's up? Talk to us about that. That's a big killer move. FTN bringing you on for lead dynasty analyst. So what's going to be the outlook for that? Cause I know I text you about that and I thought there were other things attached to it, but like, this is a big deal. This is an awesome deal that they're doing. It's good for a place like that to embrace a lot more season-long content. So what is the dynasty outlook over at FTN looking like for you?
Yeah, no, Vlad Sedler, obviously great guy, been around for a while. Him and I have kind of like talked about this for a while now. We finally had a chance to talk more around First Pitch Arizona time, and they wanted to start beefing up their baseball and specifically their dynasty content. So we talked about it for a little bit and came up with a game plan. But yeah, for right now, I'm going to be doing 2 articles. Kind of more so once the season starts, but I'll do some stuff before then. But 2 articles a week over there. Not we haven't nailed down like the nitty gritty, like it'll be this specific piece, but just getting more dynasty content over there. That's definitely going to be big for them. That's really something that they're putting a big emphasis on. As we were kind of talking before we started recording, that dynasty content I think is on the rise. It's been slowly rising, you know, every year, even since I got into this 6 years ago. It's definitely seen a lot more sites focusing on dynasty content, which is great to see. And FTN's trying to do the same thing. And they're a great site. A lot of good people at that site.
Oh, I love many of them. Vlad is a great friend of Bogman and I's. And there's a bunch of other great ones that are over there. You know, it is funny because another thing we always talk, you know, shop and business about the things. And baseball really gets, unfortunately, just about, I don't think people really fully understand it. The rap that baseball kind of gets in big industry stuff, because it's all about football and baseball just kind of borders this line. But I will tell you, as much as you would think baseball gambling would be on the rise, in my personal experience, and I think people might trust me enough, I got my hands in quite a few different places right now and seen some of the big dogs. Dynasty content is as hot as gambling baseball content right now. If anything, is maybe one of the biggest focuses I've seen across the industry. That's a good thing. You know, dynasty baseball is, I think, and I know Bogman agrees with this, drives baseball content because it's just the path that you go to. The development of young players in dynasty with picks and minor leaguers, it's unlike anything else. I mean, football is fantastic. And if anything, I will say football has an advantage in dynasty because you get immediate gratification with your guys. They come out in the draft and they're immediately playing. You don't get that with baseball, but it's such a longer
grind. There's nothing better, Welsh, than drafting a brand new dynasty team. There's no better feeling in terms of drafting. Drafting a brand new baseball dynasty team is the peak of fantasy drafting for dynasty. It absolutely is.
Yeah,
probably just for fantasy drafting, to be honest. And there's nothing better than drafting a guy when he's 17 years old and watching him come up and get into the bigs and just go nuts for your team. Yeah. There's that, you know, it's instant gratification in football. I love it. I'm the football guy around these parts. But in terms of just the most gratifying feeling in fantasy sports and dynasty sports is grabbing Ronald Acuna before he's anything.
100%.
You know, grabbing those guys.
Drafting Wander Franco when he just signed his J2 deal. And then now you're looking and, you know, the guy is out here as the number one overall prospect.
He gets to point and laugh at everyone that passed him up. It's the best part.
It is. It totally is. Now, so it brings up an interesting question. So everybody knows, as we already set up, this is going to be some dynasty talk. Next week, we're going to go with the dynasty mock. Kind of hard to set it up going into Christmas and everything going on. So this is a great kind of bridge between the dynasty mock draft we'll do and the dynasty ranks conversation we had last week, is have just a full-fledged dynasty conversation with one of our dear friends. And, you know, Cross and I are both big dynasty guys, and Bogman will probably set up a lot of this. We've got a multitude of different things. We've got questions from listeners that I curated. We've got a couple of questions we put together. I put out some dynasty polls that I just had a few things brewing in my mind about as I was just looking through 150, 200 in dynasty and mine and yours. I just thought would be fascinating to talk about. But in all of the scope of all of it, I put another poll out there and I did it exclusively on our Patreon. And we had a really good response. I'm really happy everybody did this. And I think this is one of the biggest, most basic questions in dynasty. And we do have a few of those. And I'm not jumping on the questions that are going to come because we had a couple people get a little bit more granular about how to attack in dynasties.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
But this is the true dynasty question that Bogman and I have spent tons and tons of time talking about, and I'm very curious about where you're going to be with this, Cross, is what are you most likely to do in a dynasty startup as far as a strategy goes? And I think I'm obviously going to be dumbing this down because this is not black and white to only three ways. There's a variance between all of these, but the three basic strategies are win now, the balance. I just call it the balance. It's youth and vets, you know, where you're taking the younger guy. And this is also, balance is also probably a version where people will not take any old guys, but they'll just get 28, 29 year old, stuff like that. And then there is the play for the future. So play for the future is what Tom Trudeau did in the RotoWire dynasty a while back, where he only drafted prospects. He punted multiple years, but then had a monster. Balance is just not being afraid to go and take Jordan Walker really high because of the valuation, knowing he won't help you this year. Maybe you're playing for year two or three. And win now is obviously not a complete devoid of young players, but you are not going to let, you know, these, you're not going to let Jacob DeGrom or Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer fall to the 250s or something because they're really old. You're going to shore up your system and you're going to make a great win now. And I pulled the ITL Army on where they are. But Eric Cross, let's start with you. What do you, in your mind, think is the best startup dynasty strategy of those three approaches, knowing that there's variance? And as somebody pointed out to me, well, there's a lot of variables as well and blah, blah, blah. Sure. But in a vacuum, where you start, how the draft goes, which of those three are you most likely to attack?
Yeah, no, you said it well. There's definitely a lot of variance in these. And I kind of lean towards the not win later. In the middle one, you call it the balance. I call it win soon. Usually where I fall, like more often than not, my first year, if I'm like middle of the pack, I'm happy with that. I know I have a lot of young talent, and then the next few years will be even better than that. Sometimes I go with win now, but I think it all, you know, how the board falls, because you never know how everyone else in your league is going to go. Like sometimes you'll get one of those drafts where everyone's going super win now. So maybe you go a little bit more on the younger win later side. But then sometimes I've been in these drafts where prospects just get pushed up so high to the point where we're like, all right, a lot of these, you get a lot of good values on these quote unquote older guys that are like, you know, maybe 31, 32 years old. Then you get more into a win now method. I usually don't go on the win later, though. That can be a good strategy. I think it's also the riskiest strategy. Ian Khan has been able to perfect it. You know, obviously Ian Khan, one of the better players out there, especially in Dynasty. But I kind of lean more towards the middle, the balance, so to speak. Or sometimes I'll go win now, just depending on how the board falls. But yeah, win later is definitely the lowest of them.
And Boggs, I think you are, if you had to pick one, because I think you're probably between the balance and the win now, but it's safe to say win now is yours.
It's definitely win now for me. And it's not so much about not wanting to be balanced or whatever. It's the fact that I've been in so many dynasty leagues that have closed after two or three seasons. Sure. You know what I mean? So like you have to do the win later strategy to you know, pick up all of these young prospects. And look, I've said it here, you're getting the best value when you pick up the prospects in the initial draft, because the most overrated player, I think, in any fantasy league is the number one prospect that's never played in the bigs. That's the most overrated player. And it doesn't matter what his ceiling is. Maybe his ceiling isn't as high as the guy that was number one before him or whatever, but the fact that he hasn't played and the fact that he's ranked number one makes him more valuable than he maybe even will be after he gets in the big leagues. We saw that with Vlad Jr., who is still a first round pick, but his value was so nuts right before he got to the bigs. Like that number one prospect right before they get to the bigs is insane. Yeah. So like you're getting those guys at the best value, but I've seen too many leagues shut down after year three, year four, whatever it is, to not go at least way more leaning towards win now than, you know, win later.
I'm going to throw something interesting at you real quick, and then I want to get your guys' idea on the poll question, and then I want to move through and talk our dynasty stuff. Not to spend too long, is I want to throw out a sidebar that I actually believe the second, the balance, and people call it different things. Someone in the comment section had called it win in year two, you know, win soon.
We got to get a standardized name for this thing.
We do need a standardized name, but I think it's the balanced approach. But I believe the balanced approach has the biggest opportunity to be screwed up in Dynasty than either of the two.
You can get caught in the middle. Yeah,
I've had it happen to me, and I've done it where you caught yourself in the middle. Kind of to what you said, you can't plan everything out, Eric. But there is something to when you let, especially in a Dynasty, a draft come to you too much, that we can get too cute, because I have screwed it up and done it where you're like, all right, I'm doing really good here. God, I can't pass up this guy. And all of a sudden at the end, you look and you're like, man, I really had one foot in and one foot out the whole time. And I really didn't find, as much as I went for balance, I actually missed the mark.
Now, not to say called the S or get off the pot
kind of
strategy.
Yeah, kind of. So I don't want to say that it's not, but I do think my point is it's important in my mind in a startup dynasty to understand which one is your game plan. Yep. If you are win now and you want to vary off just a tiny bit because of a prospect or two, that's okay. But you should have an approach, because you can really catch yourself in a wrong direction if you don't. So be fully, fully prepared in which one you want to attack, whichever one. If you want to play for the future, you can do it right. And guess what? You're probably going to be able to kill it easier than anyone else, because not many are doing it. Win now can be a little bit tougher, But at the same time, you might have half the league that's kind of in and out. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I think I'm somewhere between win now and that kind of balance. But I lean a little bit more win now because I also trust my ability to restack my minor league system and move prospects and stuff. Eric, what do you think this poll looks like between the three? If you could give it some percentages, just and don't worry about trying to be right about it.
I'd say I'm feeling win now is probably 45% to 50%. And okay. I'd say the other two are probably pretty close, you know, in that 25% to 30% range.
What do you think, Box?
60-20-20, 60 for win now.
60. Okay, so you say 60 win now and then 20-20?
Yeah, 20-20 for the other two.
All right. The lowest was 11% for play for the future. Mm. And remember, this is ITL Army. This is our Patreon. This is Bogman and I's Patreon of baseball people. 11% went with play for the future. 61% was balance.
Oh my God.
Which left only 28% in win now mode, which I was shocked about. And in the comment section is what I talked about. Raging Randall, Andy, who's awesome dude who hung out with.
He's top of the line player.
Top line player says win in year two. Focus on not old MLB talent. Add proximity prospects when price is right. So that's kind of like that alteration of balance and youth by him saying like he's not probably going to be interested in Jason Dominguez. He's going to be interested in guys that can produce in the next year while also going with younger guys. So that's that alteration of like, all right, maybe he's not looking at Justin Verlander, but he's going for guys that are under 30, maybe under 32 and looking for proximity prospects. That was his vote. And we had multiple people do it, but 61%, the balance of youth and vets, which it's, you know, it's imperfect because it's a poll. It's on our Patreon, but I did not expect that from our Patreon. And I thought you guys would probably be surprised by that as well.
Oh, absolutely. I thought that'd be the other way. I thought you were going to say 60% was win now and like 28% or whatever was the balance.
So I was selling it. I was selling it hard.
Good job.
So for you guys in your brains, as we're going to be talking about this, I thought that was important for in that startup, that mentality, because this is a question that doesn't work for already set dynasties. But we do have questions that are going to be aligned for what you can do when you're in a dynasty right now. And that's something that we are going to attack. So Boggs, we got a couple of our questions and then exactly what I just said. Our boy Kyle has a couple of questions of in dynasty rebuilding type of stuff. But why don't you kick us off with the first one?
Yeah, Cross, I want to know, is there a new trend or a trend that you see happening in dynasty drafts this year? Whether it's, you know, maybe it is a little more win now. Are there more closers going higher than usual? Are players more pitching heavy because that middle of pitching seems to be just a giant stack of question mark? Is there a trend that is going on more that you notice in dynasty drafts for this season?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Me.
Yeah, no, and it's really been the last couple of years, too. I've just seen prospects getting pushed up more and more. And I think it's, you know, it's FOMO, right? People that missed out on getting the, you know, the Tatises, the Acunas, the Sotos, guys like that, where they're like, all right, let me go try to get, you know, maybe Corbin, you know, obviously this year will be, you know, two big ones, Corbin Carroll, Gunnar Henderson, those guys getting pushed up. I have seen Gunnar go like in the teens. And Corbin Carroll go in the teens and Gunnar go in the 20s, which is, I love both those players, but man, it's like, and you see who are some of the names that they're going ahead of that are much more established names that are, you know, very good players. So yeah, I think FOMO is becoming more and more of a thing every year. And yeah, I get it. But I think at the same time, we have to remember that, you know, those names I just mentioned, Acuna, Tatis, Soto, guys that came up right away and dominated. Those are not the expectation. Those are the exception to the rule. We've seen many more that come up and underperform, you know, Jared Kelnick, Spencer Torkelson, et cetera. So that's risky. And like I said, I love Carroll. I love Henderson, but prospects are even going too high for my liking these days. Like I'm I'm not going to have many shares of, you know, Corbin Carroll or Gunnar Henderson probably unless I trade for him. But yeah, prospects are getting pushed up even more and more these days.
So let's actually create some FOMO on that line then. let's create some FOMO by talking about some Eric Cross guys. This is going to, people are going to want that and people are going to hone in on some of these players. You don't have to go nuts with it. I have got some debates, which is going to be pretty fun in getting into some of these players that are going to be interesting dynasty targets in general. But, you know, if prospects are getting pushed up, anybody talking about the players that they like in dynasty get pushed up. So, Eric, who are some dynasty targets? Yeah, let's create some FOMO. Who are some Eric Cross dynasty targets right now? And it can be anything you want. Can be high valued guys, super low. Prospects, older players, just some dynasty targets in 2023, whether it is a startup or you're in a draft and you're looking to trade for. Let's get a couple guys.
Is Vinny P too high of a name to go with here?
Not a name. We're going to talk about him in a little bit on one of the player debate polls that I've got out here, but let's hear it. The poll will be even more interesting when you do this. So that's yeah, one.
I am just like 100% all in on Vinny P. You know, you look at what he did. You know, there was a slight adjustment period last year. And heaven forbid players adjust to major league pitching. But, you know, he was one of the 10 best hitters in baseball for the last, you know, two and a half months of the year. And you look at all the metrics you want to see are there. Like, this is a slugger that had more walks than strikeouts as a rookie. You just don't see that. This is not a slap hitter, obviously. This is a slugging first baseman that had more walks than strikeouts as a rookie. All the contact rates are phenomenal. 90.4% zone contact, 15.3% whiff rate. Like, the dude, just you can't fool this guy. And the raw power is there too. I know Kauffman isn't the greatest, though. It does play a little more favorably to lefties than righties, but still not great, obviously. But I don't think it's going to matter too much with Vinny. I think he's a, so I, even for redraft, I have him ahead of Matt Olson in redraft. That might be, you know, a slightly hot
That's
take.
So funny. I was going to, I promise you, I'm not joking. I was going to put that as a debate. It was going to be Matt Olson versus Vinny P, but I was just like, nah, I want to get a little nuttier. That was almost one of the debates.
Yeah. And I that's nothing against Matt Olson. I don't like how his batting average fluctuates, but that was more of a, you know, bold stance on Vinny P, where I think he could be a top 25 player and really establish himself and get up, you know, maybe close to that, you know, Pete Alonso tier where, you know, he's a 300 hitter, 30 plus home runs. And I think counting stats will be there. I think that lineup will be pretty good. Obviously, he won't provide any speed, but I think this is going to be, you know, maybe the closest thing that I could say to being like a Freddie Freeman 2.0 type of player.
Dude, yeah, I was just about to say, like, yeah, you have this safe floor for yep. Vinny P 100%. With this enormous upside. And I was just about to compare him, like, yep. fantasy wise to Freddie Freeman. That is a perfect example.
And so he's interesting. He's interesting too, because you can kind of throw him in that space of like, you are taking a younger hitter over very established players, but the floor and the ceiling are both pretty great. They're both pretty high, which gives you protection. So passing up a Matt Olson for Vinny P in redraft would be probably not something most people are going to do. But in dynasty, you can kind of make that move for the youth a little bit and know you're a little in it. And that's not something that's like, oh, you just went from win now to playing for a year or two from now. That's right. Still a win now move. Throw us out. You don't have to do crazy breakdowns if you don't want. Throw us out a couple more dynasty targets.
Yeah. So another one, Jesus Luzardo. I think people keep looking at, you know, past years and the struggles there. And obviously the injuries play into it, but I think it kind of went unnoticed how good he was after returning from the IL in early August. You know, ERA right around 3, you know, over a 20% K minus walk rate. Contact rate was super low. Barrel rate was super low. You know, and his entire arsenal has just gotten better. Obviously, the curveball has always been elite. But he's gotten better metrics on the fastball, the sinker, the changeup. They're all pretty good offerings this past year. So I love Luzardo this year. And another kind of injury guy that I feel like his value has just fallen way too much. And I kind of can see why, given the, you know, all the injuries he's had so far. But Alex Kirilloff, I'm trying to get everywhere. I think his value is just so low right now. And I think there's still some question marks. You know, where is he going to play? There's a lot of, you know, moving pieces in that Minnesota lineup right now. But the guy is, I still think, one of the better pure hitters in the game. Where does the power end up? You know, those multiple wrist injuries are worrisome for sure. But you've seen, like, this guy absolutely rakes whenever he's healthy. And I think hopefully, you know, these are all behind him now and he can have a, you know, a full year here in 2023. So that is a name that I'm trying to get everywhere right now in Dynasty.
Bachman knows I agree.
You boys
are
about to go do karate in the garage, I think.
Yeah. So.
Well, I've always been
that. Become best friends.
Yep. Yeah. you know, like Kirilov is just such a no-brain low buy. And I say it, and he doesn't have the same stuff, but like Spencer Torkelson is another one of those guys. Yep. There's just guys that like right now, they're so dirt cheap. They're great dynasty buys for people because you've got owners that had pretty intense capital that probably feel at the very, very bottom. That you could do it for probably next to nothing. I mean, really, next to nothing, just like shoring up maybe a back end of a rotation piece or something like that. I love both of those picks in there. And those are a couple good ones to throw in. We actually had a dynasty question that was Kirilov versus.
I got one more. And I know we didn't put this on the sheet ahead of time, Cross. So you can just give us one here if one pops into your brain. But I want to know, who maybe based on ADP or what you've seen recently, and I know, you know, we all rank, you know, for everything here. So you don't have to rank them where you just would have zero shares and not take a guy at all. But is there someone in there on the opposite end where you're like, I cannot believe X, Y, or Z is going this high, or just because you see too much of the downside, there's no way you're going to take whoever it is? Who is the guy that Cross is going to have zero shares of in 2023?
That would be Mr. Byron Buxton.
All right. Well, we're leaving the garage then because that's Welch's, that's his boo.
He's right tough. There. I mean, I love Buxton, but you know, my problem, let Cross answer this, but like the problem is still his value, his like where he's going is still just a little bit too high.
He's not hurt in the offseason.
You want him to be cheaper. Like if he's cheaper, he's such a better buy in my mind because I can't let go of a guy like that. But I get it. But all right, talk your nonsense.
Like, obviously, the upside is monstrous, right? We've seen small glimpses of that throughout his career. I think a lot of people think that it's just like, oh, if he's healthy, he'll be fine. It's not like there's other problems. He hasn't running anymore. The contact skill has been very up and down, you know, the approach as well. Like he's a 244 career hitter over, I don't even know how many play appearances he has at this point, but he's been in the league for what, 7-8 years at this point. So there's a lot of other issues in that. And obviously he's one of the most exciting players in baseball. I love watching Buxton play, even watching him play center field. He's one of the most exciting players in the game. I would love to see a fully healthy, just like, all right, everything clicks for him. What can that season look like? I would love to see that as a baseball fan, but I think people are still holding on to that and like drafting for that. And yeah, his price has come down compared to like, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, but I think it's still too high where even if he's healthy, I'm like, all right, the average could be low. Where's, does he run at all? There's still other questions, performance based that I have. So yeah, he's fun, but I still can't get on board with the price.
Your last rank update I saw was September, and it was over on Fantrax. I don't know where the next one will be and when it's coming out. What is the relative range that you have Buxton in Dynasty right now?
I think I have him outside my top 100 at this point.
Oh,
God,
you have him outside the 100?
I have, at this very moment, 106. And that's, you know, it's been fluctuating because he's a hard one to rank, even for me.
And I'm being generous at 106. Get into a Cross, full heel.
Let's go. Should be 200 now. No, yeah, I have him. I think he's right on like that borderline top 100. And if he can start, if he can show me that, all right, he can stay on the field and start, you know, hitting for, you know, a higher average, maybe running a little bit more, and just having some consistent performance, then he'll move back up. There's definitely the potential to rise a lot. But I think there's also the potential that he could be like, you know, closer to 200 than 100 by the end of next year. So it's a very wide range of outcomes for him, I feel, this year.
You heard it here first. If you take Buxton inside the top 100, you're getting the side eye from Cross.
No, you're getting
it. He's going to quietly judge you for doing
it. Well, Walsh already giving it to me right now. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame it. I just like outside the top 100 caught me off guard a little bit. But I can see like where you, I don't know, like Cedric Mullins, Byron Buxton. I mean, is it so easy, Cedric Mullins, to you?
I do.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Do prefer Mullins, but I don't think it's easy. I think Buxton
Mullins
has
lost
higher
a lot
upside.
Of steam.
Yeah.
At the end of last year, too. You know, tuning and,
yeah,
and
like the,
hitting
the
low in the lineup and all that stuff, too. So, yeah, he lost a lot of steam, too. Is there anyone else, Cross? I don't want to, like, just keep this Byron Buxton base because you and Welsh have it. A debate on him, but is there anyone else that comes to your mind that you're like, I just cannot draft this player? It doesn't have to be a high player. It could be a lower player. Whoever it is, you're just like, I know I'm not going to have any shares of this guy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
The other one that comes to my mind, which I think he's roughly in the same range, is, you know, newest New York Met. Well, no, actually, they've already signed more people since then. But Carlos Correa. I used to be a huge Correa guy, and he stopped running. And yeah, he's been more healthy the last couple of years. That was one of the obviously the big issues with him. He couldn't stay in the field either, but that's kind of been better. But and Correa's good, but I think there's still this kind of perceived notion that he's like this super stud fantasy player where he doesn't run anymore. You know, the numbers are good, but they're not great. You know, he's like, you know, 270, 280, good. You know, mid-20s home runs. He's never been a 30-homer guy. He's never had these super high counting stats. Doesn't run anymore. So again, he's good, but I think people still kind of think of him as like a, you know, a top 50-ish value type of guy for Dynasty, and I'm just not there. I think he's closer to 100 than 50. I get it, good, but just doesn't, you know, he's not elite to me. I think the people think he is.
He very much feels to me like a bottom of the tier guy, like a last guy that you take.
That's fair,
so
yeah.
You can go, look, I'm putting him in my lineup, and I'm not worrying about him for the rest of the year because he's probably going to be healthy, and he's going to play good enough to not be replaced, and that's it. There's not a ton of upside, so I'm with you on Correa.
I will tell you, though, the bottom of the tier of third base now because he's going to be a third baseman,
yeah.
So that might change a little bit of the value on it. All right, that was a lot of stuff we built up to getting a couple player names in here. We're not done with player names because we've got a few questions. We're probably going to have to play a little bit more burn on the questions because we also have debates to get to. So Boggs, if you want to set up here, Kyle T in the ITL Army raised a couple good just overall dynasty questions, and then we're going to jump into our debates.
All right, boys. So here we go. Kyle T says, with a rebuild team in mind, when do you stop trading assets away and start pushing towards a win now team, trying to avoid the dreaded constant trading away MLB players or prospects? So I guess when you're in a rebuild, Cross, when do you know it's time to push the chips in and start, you know, getting major league players instead of acquiring prospects?
That is a great question, because I think that is a kind of, you know, that's a question a lot of people have is, you know, when's that threshold? When should you start, you know, putting your foot back on the gas pedal, so to speak? And I think it all comes down to like your prospect pool. Like, do you have a lot of those like Jordan Walker types, the, you know, Anthony Volpe types, or even like an Oswald Peralta? Do you have a lot of guys that are like, all right, these guys are going to start contributing to my team, like, you know, maybe in an opening day, but like this year, I'm gonna start seeing some of the rewards of that prospect rebuild. Like, all right, now's the time where maybe I start going to get some of those pieces. Like, I know, like, this team is definitely gonna be on the rise once these guys get into the major leagues, start contributing there, give me those stats. I think when your prospects are getting like right there near the cusp of debuting, you got a good pool of those types of guys. That's when I'd probably start, like, you know, catch some of the other chips. You know, maybe some of the lower guys. Like, maybe you have like a Luis Angel Acuna or even a Jackson Chirio. I wouldn't be opposed to trading him. Guys a little further away to get some of those, you know, win now pieces that'll help speed up that rebuild.
I would also throw in there that I think what's really important about rebuilds is, and I see it because I watch from a bird's eye view sometimes, all our group me rooms and people talking and dynasties and stuff. I think people are way too trigger happy in the quote rebuild stage. And you put yourself in the constant flux. I think rebuild should be 2 years. And I think
that's fair.
You take the 2 years and you've got to have a game plan and you have to have the right pieces. And that's what becomes really difficult, is making sure you have the right pieces. But when people get in rebuild, they feel so enamored to trade everything. I see this all the time, but I will see guys, I'm in a rebuild. What should I get for Acuna? Nothing. Don't trade him. That should be the core your thing. Don't do that. And people do that all the time, is form a game plan and set it around the 2 year marker and whatever that's got to be. You know, it could be 3 years in bigger leagues and you have to get a lot of lower prospects. That could be what the league is based off of, but you got to have the game plan. And then your team will tell you when it's time. Your team is going to tell you when it's time. And back to kind of where Cross is saying, like, when you start to get the fruits of your labor, you get these guys, these proximity prospects that are coming up, whether it's on the pitching or the hitting side, preferably on the hitting side, then you can start pushing those chips in, all while acquiring young pieces, all while also creating assets at the lower levels to trade to then help those young core guys. But you got to hit on a couple. And I think that might be the last key. When you start to hit on some of those pieces that you've traded for, you're getting in a good spot. But have a plan and set it around like 2 years or something.
And Kyle has another good dynasty question, just overall. It's, in a dynasty format, how do you handle leagues or trades that don't value an older dynasty player, but you need to move that older player because you're rebuilding? Do you take the best trade you can, or do you just hold on to them until something comes around that you deem is good enough?
I'm stubborn. I am so stubborn. Like, these guys will come in our rooms, Eric, and they'll just be like, hey, this is, what do you think of this trade? And I'm like, I hate it. And they're just like, well, this is the best I can get in this league for this player. I wouldn't trade him. Well, yeah. I got to do it because I got to rebuild and I'm going to take it. Okay. I hate it. Like, I don't leagues determining what I'm going to do. Like, a league is going to determine the trade in the end of the day, but a league determining a bad trade because of how people are is puts me in ultimate stubborn mode and I just can't do it. But I know sometimes the best way is to push back. I don't know if you feel any different. I hate leagues dictating, oh, we don't value Max Scherzer because he's older. Well, you should, because he's one of the top pitchers and you should get the assets for it if someone is in win now mode.
Yeah, no, I'm basically very much in line with your line of thinking on that. You know, and I think it depends too. Like, is it, you know, it depends on how old the player is, how valuable that player is, but I'm not going to sell for 40 cents on the dollar just because, oh, Justin Verlander's 39. Well, he's also shown no signs of slowing down. He just won the Cy Young Award. So if I get like, you know, 95 cents on the dollar, maybe it's a little undervalued. Okay, that could be something I could get behind. But yeah, if you're not getting anything you like, where you have to ask that question, and you're like, do I even do this? I don't even like it. Then no, if you have to ask that question and you don't, you know, if you don't like it, then don't do it. You know, hold on.
But
his
point is like, hey, listen, the whole league is like this. I want to rebuild. Do I just end up taking the best one of these garbage offers because it's the best I can get? Or do you stand tight, strong and try to play it for another day? And
I'll buy old players for cheaper, even when I'm rebuilding, and package them together to get the bigger prospect too. Sometimes that can work if you're trading, like, let's say that you've been rebuilding for a while and you just have a giant pool of minor league players. If that's what your league allows, obviously not every league plays by those rules, but if you have a giant, take some of those deeper prospects, start trading them for those older players and offer them in a bunch to get a better prospect back to at least make you feel better about the trade, you know? Because if you think about it, you kind of have to do a couple mental gymnastics to do that, but sometimes that can work too. So just baseball, this is another reason why I love Dynasty Baseball more than Dynasty Football, is because there's more outs. There's more ways to make your team work. There's more options to trade for. So it just,
I do want to point out
you have room to move.
What you're saying is fine, but what Kyle is saying, though, at the end of the day, is something many people deal with, and we're creating these fun scenarios where we're like, hey, we'll do this for that. But at the end of the day, he's like, hey, listen, I'm in a league of a bunch of a-holes who will not give me remotely close to the value. Should I just do this so I can move on with my rebuild? And that's the crux of the question here, because we all have good answers and this is what I do. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, listen, are you going to buy? Yeah, I say no as well. And I think, Cross, I think you're kind of we're all no's in this. Listen.
Find a different way.
Exactly. Find a different way. Get your picks a different way. Don't just settle because the league has set a new standard for the league. And guess what? Nothing will ever change if everything stays the same. So that's what I would do in Dynasty. And I would press that a little bit. So those are good format questions here. And let's get into some debates. I put some polls out there. We're probably going to have to do quick hitters on the questions we have at the end, but I put some polls together and I put them out. And really what this is going to be about is you guys making your pick. Bogman, you haven't looked at the results, right?
No.
Okay, cool. Is everyone making their pick, and then we're going to guess the poll results. So the first one I put together was, let me see, I guess that would be the very, yeah, this was, I thought, a really fun one. And you know what sparked it was I have Jazz Chisholm very high. I'm very much into Jazz Chisholm. I don't like the injury stuff. It's something that's going to be concerning. Obviously, I have a hole in my vision sometimes for these players that start to get injury prone. I'm like, oh, whatever. They have all the talent in the world. Byron Buxton. Jazz has a little bit of that, but he is a huge power speed combination, young middle infield player who is electric. And I thought to myself, how interesting would it be if we compare Jazz Chisholm with Gunnar Henderson, someone who got a little bit of time up in almost every dynasty list, maybe even into the end of the season, you still wouldn't have seen Gunnar ahead of Jazz Chisholm. So at the end of the day, Gunnar Henderson looks like he's about to break on. We've seen it from Jazz, even though time has been missed. Eric Cross, which one in dynasty are you taking, Gunnar Henderson or Jazz Chisholm?
It's funny that this is the first one, because these two are very, very close in my rankings. And I think, at the end of the day, even again, I'm very high on both these guys. I lean Gunner, because if you want to go, you know, compare ceilings and floor, I give the ceiling edge to Chisholm, floor edge to Gunner. Reason why I go Gunner is I think there's a smaller gap between the ceilings than there is the floor. Like, I think people think of Henderson as a safe prospect, and I think he is. But I think upside, I think, is a little undervalued, that he could, maybe he's not quite the same power speed guy, but he probably hits for higher average. He should definitely have a higher OBP. And, I think the power will be similar. And then the one area where he's probably a little behind on is the speed, but it's not like he's a zero there either. So I think just because the ceilings are closer than I think the floors are, I lean Gunner, but they're both in my top 40 overall. But I do lean Gunner here.
Jazz hasn't hit 25 yet. Projections are wildly great on him this year in 130 games, 27 homers, 25 stolen bases, 245 average, coming off of two straight years of hitting. On average, I think it's 251 was his 2-year average over the last couple. Jazz has also cut his strikeout percentage down. ISO went up. BABIP wasn't anything crazy. I mean, it's just big numbers, but there's a lot of hope for Gunnar Henderson out here, though the prospect fatigue can set in. And Bogman, I'd ask you the same thing. Do you feel any different about the potential five tools in Jazz Chisholm that has a lot more ups and downs versus the prospect Gunnar Henderson, who we do know a little bit less about?
No, I think Cross articulated it very well, I'm going to take Gunnar in this because I think his upside is underrated. I mean, Jazz definitely has a higher ceiling, but I think the floor is so much lower because of this injury stuff, too. I start to get real wonky about guys that have missed time this young, and not just one thing. It's also a couple things. It seems like he may have some soft tissue deal going on a little bit as well. So I'm going to lean Gunnar towards in this one because, like Cross said, he's not a zero in the stolen bases. He's not, you know, low either. He's not going to get five. He's probably a 15 guy. So I love the fact that his floor seems much higher than Jazz's, even though his ceiling isn't as high.
Yeah, and another thing, too, I wanted to mention is I love what Baltimore is building there. Miami, still kind of, you know, what does the next few years look like, especially with their offense, right? Their pitching's great, but what's that offense going to look like around Jazz? Baltimore, you know, Adley, Mountcastle, like, you know, they're bringing some other guys up. They'll have Kobe Mayo up. Like, I think they're Santander. Like, they're building a pretty good offense there. So I think the supporting cast and the ballpark are, you know, are in Gunnar's favor as well.
And neither one of those franchises I would call trustable, though.
No, but I do really like what Baltimore's building there. I think they're back to being like a pretty solid team for, you know, foreseeable future.
Did you say that they're both top 40 prospects?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least three times bigger than this.
It is Christmas. I will tell you, if you're listening to this, we do have a Wheel Wednesday on Friday episode, a pre-Christmas episode. We'll be off for a couple days. We'll be back next week as normal, though. We have a new Prospect One coming up on Monday or Tuesday. I got a couple guests talking about the P1 ADPs. We'll be doing a Dynasty mock next week. And that is how we're going to finish out 2022 with the Dynasty December, as Bogman labeled it. And we're going to go into 2023 blazing. And hopefully you guys are going to be joining us on the Patreon. I really hope you do. I want to make it big, and I think we can if you guys keep rocking with us. We're going to have updates in January as well. We're going to have lots of fun stuff. We're going to track in the listener leagues, be tracking all of the records, and mock drafts. Those are your opportunities to join us in the mock draft episodes, which start in January. Those are our big dog episodes. Plus, we got a couple other cool things. We got a sponsor joining with us in the new year, which I think you guys are going to dig a way to hang out with us, and we'll have some prize stuff on the docket as well. So, ITL, man, we just doing the things. You guys can also catch me over on CBS Weekly, I believe on the Thursday episodes is usually when it drops. And I think that's all that we can tell everybody, Box. I think that's it. I mean, Merry Christmas. Everything. What are you doing Merry for Christmas? What are you doing?
Well, remember, I flexed Christmas.
Oh, yeah, you
to
flexed
Friday.
Christmas. I forgot. So Merry Christmas to you today. You flexed it for the
Yes, Merry
game.
Christmas. Yeah, well, we're just doing, all that means for me is we're doing dinner and unwrapping gifts. You know, Christmas Eve, I'm going to be watching the football and the Steelers, and then on Christmas Day, I'm going to my cousin's house. So, regular family stuff. So,
I think it'll be
family
lots
that
of,
I don't have Welsh.
The non-family. I think it's be drinking and video games. I think is the right time for the next couple of days. Boy. So that's what we'll do exactly, and we'll finish out the new year with you guys, and then we'll get into the new year. We'll finish out this year and then we'll get into the new year. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can do that wherever you listen. And if you're on Spotify or iTunes, you can give a little rate and review, which we'd appreciate. Follow us on Twitter. Is it the Welsh and Bogman Sports? And hey, listen, whatever you celebrate, Christmas, you don't, just have a good time. Get some rest, whether you're with it or not, whether you spend family or not, whether it's giving time to them or yourself. Just chill out. Marry whatever makes you happy, miss. That's what I'm all about. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you on the other side. It's the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, and we're out of here.
For you.